Blessed evening. So today, I'm going to share a devotion taken from Psalm 37, verses 1 through 6. So I read the psalm for us. Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut off like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. So this evening, as we consider this psalm, and the title of my devotion is Trusting God in Troubling Times. You know, Psalm 37 is written by David to encourage believers who are troubled in the apparent success of the wicked. It offers practical guidance for us Christians to live faithfully in a world where evil sometimes seems to triumph. We have seen the rise of new fads in this postmodern world. We have seen wokeism and relativism taking center stage, such that objective truth seems to be elusive and there is confusion in the moral standards of society. National policies in recent years have also become very inward-looking as nations increasingly are trying to safeguard their own interests, and they forgot all the rules of engagement, the principles of collaboration, and world peace continues to be elusive as new wars were started over the past 3 years in different parts of the world. There is also an increasing divide, a social divide between the common man and the rich, between those in authority and those who are, whom we think are common folk. There are many of us also struggling to make ends meet, to manage our work, our families, our service in church, the many different commitments that we have. Yet, there are also some who seem to be able to live in relative ease and luxury, and as though as their lives seem to be pretty smooth sailing. Even though for a number of these, some of them are also portrayed negatively in public circles, in public media. So as we see all these things happen, we may sometimes murmur or feel that there is injustice, there is unfairness in all of these things. So Psalm 37 offers a very different perspective, offers a divine perspective where we put on the lens that God would have us see so that we can live lives that he would have us live. So this psalm calls us to trust God and to continue to have patience, to continue to live righteously in the face of challenges and injustice in this generation. So I shall be looking at a couple of points. So firstly, looking at verses 1 and 2, we are told by the psalmist David not to fret because of evildoers and also not to be envious against the workers of iniquity. So here we are instructed not to let anger or envy take root in our hearts because these emotions do not profit us and will only cause harm to ourselves. The world is full of evildoers, and a lot of the wicked would say in their hearts that there is no God, and we only live for today. Evildoers are described as those who scheme and plot against the just. They are those who oppress the poor and the needy. They are the ones who would draw their swords and bend their bow so that they can cast down the poor and needy. They are the ones who are dishonest, who borrow without any intention to repay. They are also the ones who seek violence to slay the righteous. Really, in another passage in Romans 3 verses 10 to 18, it gives us a glimpse that these evildoers and these workers of iniquity do not really understand spiritual things nor want to seek after God and after spiritual things. In verse 18 of Romans 3, we see that there is no fear of God in their eyes. So this scene is very familiar throughout the ages, not just in our time, but also during the time of David as he wrote the psalm, as well as of the patriarchs of old, and in all generations where God's believers continue to face such wickedness. That's why we ought not to marvel as if this is a new or strange thing, but rather remember the imperative here that we should not be fretful, nor should we be envious, because these sins of the wicked will be punished. By fretting or envying, we continue to put our spirits to unease, such that our bones may wax old and rotten. So the word of God tells us here that the prosperity of the wicked, in verse 2, is temporary, because they will soon be cut down like grass. You know, grass is bountiful as we go to grass patches, but grass is also very easily cut down. And as we see in our daily lives, we see grass cutters using just a cable tie that spins round and round, and the blades would be cut. So that's how short-lived, that is how temporal the wicked are. And they are not just cut off, they shall be destroyed. And they shall fall by their own weapons of destruction. Very similar to Haman, who made the gallows for Mordecai, but instead, this same gallows that he made was used for his own execution. In other verses of this psalm, we read that their arms shall be broken and they shall be destroyed, in verse 38. In another psalm, in Psalm 2, we read that the Lord in his throne shall laugh at the wicked and they shall be in derision. So really, we ought not to be envious of the wicked because they have an expected end, an end of destruction and judgment by the Almighty God, who says that vengeance is mine and I will repay, saith the Lord. So knowing that the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment and that their way shall perish, then do we still need to fret? So really, we would do well if we were to obey this imperative that we should not fret, nor be envious, nor be bitter within us, but rather we should have confidence in what the Lord has instructed us, that all things will work to the power of his will and for our good. Next, we shall look at the instructions for the righteous, for those who are God's people who call upon his name. Firstly, we see that we are to trust in the Lord and do good, in verse 3. So we are to trust in the Lord, having the confidence, the reliance, and full dependence upon him, to continue to do what is right and good, regardless of what men around us may be doing. It is not a fatalistic resignation, like how the world would say, que sera, sera, whatever happens, oh well, we just carry on. But it's really not leaning upon our own understanding and letting God direct our paths. So in short, by trusting in the Lord, we are to have faith in the Lord with our whole heart, not allowing our own finite short-sightedness to dictate how we should respond to life situations, but rather to trust God to lead us, even though we may not be able to see very clearly, or we may not be able to see very far. We also to do good through exercising diligent care, to serve God and to serve men in our generation in accordance to his will. So serving God is to be faithful in what he wants us to do according to the gifts and talents that he has bestowed upon us. Serving our fellow men, I like to suggest that firstly to believers, we ought to edify and build up one another through life's trials. To the unbelievers, we are to bring the gospel of salvation to them. One day they might come to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, even though they may revile us and reject us in all our efforts to reach them. And we know that as we reach to the unbelievers, it is not our work, but God's work. And our duty is not to be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint. So as we trust in the Lord and as we do good, we need not worry what will happen to us, because there is also a promise from God that he will provide for all our needs He will feed us with food that is convenient for us. And later part of this psalm in verse 25, David said that as he has grown old, he has never seen God's children begging bread. So let us cling on to this promise as we trust in him, as we continue to live righteously and to do good, that God shall supply all our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And verily we shall be fed. Secondly, we are to delight ourselves in the Lord. We are to find our deepest joy in God and not in circumstances. Of course, this is very easily spoken. And in actual practice, it can be very difficult, especially when we are struggling. But here, we also see a command for us to delight ourselves in the Lord. And I'd like to suggest 7 ways in which we may delight in the Lord. So firstly, I think we can delight in him because he has revealed himself to us. The Lord Jesus Christ has revealed himself to us when he came to earth to live amongst us. And he is altogether lovely. It's just whether we are able to see and to appreciate his loveliness. And there is no reason why we ought not to do so because of his love for us and the salvation he has redeemed us. Secondly, we should delight in his word because his word is the light upon our path, is the lamp upon unto our feet that will guide us through life's journey, no matter how dark it may seem. We are to lead delight in his covenant because he has covenanted with his people, saying that their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And he has also promised never to leave us nor forsake us in whatever state we may be in. We are to delight in his protection because he continues to uphold us with his hand, and no one can pluck us out of his hand and the Father's hand. We are to delight in his love because God has said that he has loved us with an everlasting love. We are to delight in his commandments, in obeying his commandments. He has reminded us that his commandments are not grievous. And if we love him, we have to keep his commandments. And seventhly, we are to delight in his service. And when we are in his service, he said to us that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So as we seek to delight ourselves in the Lord, there is also a promise that comes with this command. He has not promised to gratify all the appetites of our flesh, not to gratify all our desires, our sinful desires, but he is to grant us the desires of our hearts, the cravings of a renewed, sanctified soul that have received salvation, that have seen the beauty of the Lord, that we can then say, take the world, but give me Jesus. And what are these desires of our renewed hearts? It's really to know him, to know God and the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, to love him because he first loved us, to live unto him because we are now crucified with Christ, and the lives that we now live are no longer our own, and we live by the faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So really, as we see these instructions on how we ought to live, we thank God for the promises that accompany them as well. Thirdly, we are asked to commit our ways unto the Lord. And to commit our ways to God is really to surrender our plans and trust in him, to lead us in whatever we have planned. It is really to submit everything to his guidance and his disposal according to his providential care. And we are told that there is nothing too insignificant to bring before him in prayer. We are asked to cast all our cares upon him, for he careth for us. And indeed, we are to be careful for nothing. We are not to be anxious, but to bring everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving and make our request known to him. And then there are a twofold promise that he promises us. Firstly, he will bring these plans to pass. So as we acknowledge him in all our ways, he shall direct our paths. Jesus has also said that whatsoever we will ask in his name, that he will do. And he also said Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and it shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. So as we come before the Lord to commit our ways, our plans to Him, we can really trust that He will open the doors where no man can shut, and He will shut the doors when He would prevent us from entering in. The second promise is that He will bring forth our righteousness as the light and our judgment as the noonday. So as we go through all of life's trials, as we go through this sinful and wicked world, indeed God will in His time vindicate us, even though men may reproach us or censure us, or men may give us a bad name. Let us not fret, because God will clear our name in His time. God will declare our righteousness and our testimony before the world if we keep good conscience before Him. So what shall we say to these things? We have already found our rest in Christ as we believed in Him. So we are told by the Apostle Paul that these things that we have both learned and received and heard and seen in Him, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So if we were to do all these things, we can then have the peace of God in our hearts. And we need not worry, we need not fret, we need not envy, we need not really, really be bothered on what the world should do to us. We are to do and put into action what we have learned. We are to live our lives as ordered by the Lord. For it's said that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We are to choose a life of integrity, to depart from evil and to do good. We are to continue to speak wisely, not our own human wisdom, but the wisdom that comes from above, that our words and actions may reflect God's law and God's love. And we are to continue to wait upon the Lord, because He alone will ultimately vindicate us as we remain faithful to Him. So this evening, as we come to the close of this devotion, let us remember that we ought not to be afraid of what men should do unto us. Although this is easier said than done, we can go to Him in prayer, because this psalm closes with a promise that the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Really, it's not any of the things that we can do on our own. And He is His strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in Him. So really, as we go through all of these trials, the troubling times, times that sometimes we are really unnerved, let us remember that our salvation belongs to the Lord. And He who saves us will save us to the uttermost. So may the Lord continue to grant us much faith and trust as we wait upon Him in these troubling times. Amen. Come, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for this wonderful psalm. Thank Thee for the hymn that we have also sung earlier. Indeed, Lord, as we are oftentimes easily tossed to and fro by the winds of change in our life circumstances, in the trials that come our way, O Lord, forgive us for our faithlessness. Help us to remember that the Lord Jesus who saved us is the same yesterday and today and forever, and that He will also save us to the uttermost. So grant us much encouragement, even from Thy word. And we ask, Lord, that You will grant us courage and strength as we go through the rest of this week, as we go through our life's journey. Help us to always cast our burdens before Thee, for we know that Thou carest for us. Lead us now as we come for a season of prayer, that we can bring all our petitions before Thee and trust Thee to answer them in accordance to Thy will and in Thy time. For we ask and pray all these in Jesus' name. Amen.